And a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Current weather is 81 degrees. Humidity is really high. It's hot and muggy. It's clear. I'm pretty easy on the weather. I'm not very technical, but it's hot out there. The humidity is 71%, so it's still wet out there. Grass and stuff still wet out there. In the Red Room today, I have special agent. I want to call him Ranger because he come in here wearing his big old cowboy hat. But special agent Paul Cornett, he is with the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. And he's will be discussing and telling us some good stories. We're going to hear some good stories. You guys hang on because we want to hear some of his good stories. But right now, as I reported Friday, it's the reason why I don't go into too many details when I hear these things pop up. The Agriculture Secretary was supposed to be in Omaha, Nebraska to reveal some interesting stuff that the President and the Department of Agriculture was going to do. Well, he ended up in Council Bluffs, Iowa, instead of Omaha, Nebraska, and it wasn't nothing like anybody thought he was going to announce. So what he did announce was the U.S. government will U.S. government will invest at least $500 million to expand beef, pork, and poultry processing capacity. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said on Friday after consumers faced limits on meat purchases during the COVID-19 pandemic last year. The money came from a $1.9 trillion pandemic relief package approved in March and will be awarded to meat processors in grants and loans to make the supply chain more resilient and increase competition in the sector. President Joe Biden signed a sweeping executive order that pushes the U.S. Department of Agriculture to crack down on abusive practices of meat processors and promote more competition in the U.S. economy. So, that being said, I hope it's a good thing because a lot of times when the U.S. government gets involved, it's not good all times. You know, there needs to be some help from them guys, but when they start dictating to the farmers and the packers and the feedlot guys how much money they're going to get, that's not always good. But even now, ranchers are now selling cattle for a loss, even though meat companies make profits selling beef to consumers, Vilsack said. It seems to me, in fairness, profit ought to go both ways. He also added that when large meat plants close, meat supplies tighten, while ranchers get stuck with cattle that otherwise have been slaughtered. But what this is saying is they're getting involved. We don't know the details on it, but it'd be great to have some more pack processors around here. We've already got some new ones coming in. The Becks over at Canute, the Jacksons over here at Sayre. We have the Shones. We got the Keiths, Butcher Market, Snayburgers. We already have some, and we're getting some more. And it'd be great where we can get our own meat processed. I'm going to talk with Officer, our special agent. What do you want to go by?
Oh, just agent.
Agent.
That's fine. We're our official title, special agent.
Yeah, that's what. It's kind of like working with the FBI, right?
Yeah, well, kind of.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be right back.
Good morning, I'm Randy Renner on First Oklahoma Ag. Congress returning from the July 4th recess this week with lots to do and little time to do it. infrastructure, spending bills, extending the debt ceiling, and more. All of it important, much of it politically very important, but with only a few weeks left before the traditional August recess. Agriculture will come up on a number of fronts, including the fiscal 2022 spending bill still pending in both chambers. House Ag Appropriations Chairman Sanford Bishop at a recent committee approval of the bill.
Our fiscal year 2022 allocation is $26.55 billion, which is $2.85 billion above fiscal year 21.
The allocation, including nearly $400 million for agriculture civil rights efforts.
Increases at our 1890 and 1994 land-grant universities and our Hispanic-serving institutions, and a healthy increase for USDA's Office of Civil Rights. Second, this bill provides nearly $350 million to address the impacts of climate change.
Bishop says the bill would also restore pay costs and provide nearly $4.7 billion for rural development, including more for rural broadband.
COVID-19 showed the country that far too many Americans still lack access to adequate internet service.
The bill has $2.9 billion for farm and conservation programs and $3.4 billion for agriculture research. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The rally in crop prices over the last 12 months, combined with increased shipping costs, is fueling inflation of food prices. Costs of shipping bulk grains from production regions in the U.S. to global users have roughly doubled from last year. Shippers cite rising fuel costs, tighter supplies of shipping vessels, and longer port turnaround times. An economist at the National Australia Bank telling Reuters, for years buyers enjoyed low grain and freight prices. I see no immediate end to high freight costs. Moving grain from Australia to Asia now costs $30 per metric ton compared to $15 a year ago. Shipping from the U.S. Pacific Northwest to Asia now costs $55 a metric ton compared to $25 last year. Global food prices fell in June, the first decline in a year. This is First Oklahoma Ag.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection, friendship,
escape, independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
That's Check Ag News. Have a great day. Greg Merrick, First Oklahoma Ag.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, yeah. We're back. Welcome back. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Well, there's a couple different ways that you can listen to our show, so I need to tell you about them. Obviously, you can get on 96.5 KECO on the radio. If you run out of signal and you're traveling out of state or on the other side of the state, you can download the Paragon Communications app and click on there and go on air and then click on Today in Ag, and you can listen to it live or you can listen to it later. Also, we are streaming live on Facebook. See me smile for you there. Anyway, that's the easy way. You can listen to it while it's live, or you can come back and listen to it later. It's being a pretty good hit. We got a lot of views last week, and I appreciate all the help you guys are giving me with feedback. And also, if you want to call in, or not call in, I have friends in little places, so as Garth Brooks says, I'm not going to take calls. But you can text into the KECO 96.5 text line. I call it the Ag line. If you got any questions for me, my guest, or if you got any recommendations, know anybody who wants to be on the show, we're booked out already 3 weeks out, but I will take recommendations. It's 580-225-9697. And we already have one listener that's texting him. Lieutenant James, are you out there? Sorry, Paul. I got to do that. We got to give him heck. But anyway, if you want to text in, 225-9697. Any questions, any recommendations, we'll take them. But right now, I want to introduce you guys to Special Agent Paul Cornett, who is with the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Good afternoon, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for coming in. You and I, we've met on Facebook.
Yes, sir.
And you told me the story about Lacey Swope, and that just hit home with me because she told that same story that you told me because you were the game warden involved,
yes.
And it hit home. So tell us a little bit about your family and you. How'd you end up in Oklahoma?
Well, I'm actually the fourth generation Oklahoman. My granddad and great-granddad, they came to Indian Territory in the 1870s. Great-granddad worked for the Indian Agency in Anadarko there in Caddo County. And they rode on the Chisholm Trail and drove cattle and were in the land run of 1889. So my granddad, he was one of the founding members of the Oklahoma City Stockyards in 1910.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a lot of history in agriculture. My granddad opened a meat packing plant in 1923. We killed cows and bulls. It was actually in Oklahoma City. I always say I was the only kid in my class in high school with cow manure on my boots because I grew up. We had a feed yard and a meat packing plant right there in Oklahoma City.
So you're an agriculture agent that actually knows the difference between a bull and a cow.
I do. That always helps when you're working. Thefts. It's kind of hurts your credibility if you go to a theft and then you don't know what you're talking about.
What is it, officer and gentleman? There was only two things that come from Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was in boot camp when that movie came out.
Okay.
And I got a lot of harassment from my drill
sergeant. I bet you did.
Yeah. Yes. You're from where, boy?
Yeah. You knew what was coming.
Yeah, I knew what was coming next. Well, tell us how. So you were a game warden.
Yeah, I was an Oklahoma game warden for 14 years. I was in Caddo County and Woodward County. Your James Edwards here in Beckham County. He replaced me in Caddo County. So I've known Lieutenant James a long time as well, and know his dad. And y'all are blessed to have him as a game warden.
Yes, we are.
He's a very good game warden.
He's very good. He knows how to do his job.
He does.
You're not going to get by much on him.
And he cares.
Yeah,
I know.
He does.
And you're blessed. So. And then in 2011, I took this job with Oklahoma Department of Agriculture and started out. The opening was in South Central Oklahoma, so I lived down by Sulphur, but
I
was ready to come back west when I could. So,
if you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I have Special Agent Paul Cornett in the red room with me today. He's with the Department of Agriculture, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. So what is a special agent's job? I mean, this will probably take a while, but we got some time.
So sure.
Tell us what you do.
We're state officers. There's 8 field officers and 1 chief. So like when I was a game warden, I had 1 county and wondered how I was going to patrol that. Now I have about 13. So I'm assigned, basically my district is Northwest Oklahoma. And then we have Devin Huckabee. He lives at Mangum. He's a former sheriff in Greer County. He has Southwest Oklahoma. I have Northwest Oklahoma.
Is that a 40-year dividing line?
Roughly. Kinda. Yes.
You guys probably help each
Basically,
other.
Basically, we kind of joke. We have, if one of us is on vacation, I may be working cases in Tulsa, you know. So, I mean, we well, being there's only eight of us, we travel.
It's a big
area. A couple weeks ago, a bunch of us were in Lincoln County over by Chandler working a theft. We had some suspects on some property theft, and we were over there helping that agent. So we work a lot of area. We do, a lot of it's cattle theft is our has always been a busy thing. And, and we were really blessed with the Department of Agriculture. Terry Peach, he was from up in Woodward County when he was the Commissioner of Agriculture. He saw the need for rural law enforcement to help the farmers and ranchers. Our unit originally started out just in eastern Oklahoma working timber thefts and fires in the, in the forest regions of eastern Oklahoma. But Terry Peach realized the need that farmers and ranchers need. And so, 15 years ago or so, he put agents across the state. And so when we do all agriculture, we can enforce any laws, but our primary thing is enforcing agriculture theft.
So you're like a game warden in a way. Game warden's main job is to enforce wildlife, sure, but they can also help out with normal law.
That's correct. I mean, I may be working traffic control on a wreck tomorrow or backing up a sheriff's office on a call. I'm in rural western Oklahoma. Texas Panhandle, you have to wear many hats because, there's not that many law enforcement. So you go do whatever has to be done.
Yeah,
so
that's great. You're listening to It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. And Special Agent Paul Cornett with the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture is in here. I know you got some good stories.
Oh yeah, there's always fun stories to
let's
tell.
Let's start on the list. I see you wrote it down because I know you didn't. Let me get to the list. Hang on, I want to pick one. The gang member. I want to hear that story.
Yeah, I mean, and it's as in any crime. Most of our crimes that are connected to narcotics. People are stealing things to buy methamphetamines or whatever it may be. Not always, but most of the time.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. Male, female, all races, we encounter all, all types of people. And this guy was belonged to either the Blips, the Blood or the Crips gang out of Oklahoma City. They were some guys, and they were stealing cattle in the Oklahoma City metro area. And we had been warned of them, and the Oklahoma City West, OKC West Sale Barn in El Reno called and said, hey, they've delivered some cattle. So we got out there when they were picking up the check. We arrested three, put them in jail. The one guy agreed to take us to where the cattle, they'd stole the cattle. At the time, we had two reporters from New York City riding with us. So you can imagine, we came up to, I know one of them, we came to an intersection. They're like, there was no stop sign there. Well, yeah, welcome. That's about like every
the
other
guy on the ride. Had to ride away.
So, but the girl, one night, she goes, can I talk to the guy you have in your back seat? So I have this gang member in the back seat of my work truck in handcuffs, and he's volunteered to show us, where the cattle were stolen. And so she wanted to ask him questions, and he agreed. And she goes, now this, why would you steal cattle? You imagine somebody from New York City, it was such a foreign thing for them anyway. And he goes, you want to know why I steal cattle? Because it's impossible to get caught.
he's sitting in
the back of my police car with handcuffs on. And Amendi said that he looked at me and smiled real big. A nice guy, And he said, well, I don't guess I can say that anymore. And I said, no, sir, you can't. And so you always, in law enforcement, you deal with so many bad things. And it's kind of good to be able to, laugh at some things. And a lot of people we catch, they're not necessarily bad people. They get on that dope and they do stupid things. A lot of them steal from their, I've arrested grandsons that stole from granddad stealing cattle. Yeah. And I always say it breaks your heart and hurts your feelings when something gets stolen. But when you have to tell that victim their grandson is the one that stole their cattle,
it breaks your heart.
It just hurts a little worse. Yeah.
Well, we got more stories to come and more information out there.
Hello, folks. Calvin Wright, Beef Industry News, and coming up, lawmakers seeking reimbursement for dairy farmers. More in a moment.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the Ford F-Series for everyone, America's best-selling trucks for 44 years straight, because the trucks of the future are built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2020 calendar year total sales. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford F-150, Ranger, and Super Duty. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
At Stillwater Milling Company, they take livestock nutrition seriously. A&M feeds are made from ingredients that are tested to ensure safety and quality, and absolutely no fillers. Stillwater Milling Company counsels with Oklahoma State University livestock specialists to stay current on new developments in the care and feeding of livestock. Choose A&M feeds for safe quality livestock feed. Make the best choice. Call Stillwater Milling Company at 1-800-364-6804 for the branch or dealer location nearest you.
A group of lawmakers calling on the Biden administration to reimburse dairy producers for losses stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic and market-related losses. In a letter to President Biden, the 24 lawmakers say, quote, "We strongly urge you to ensure our producers are reimbursed for as much of the roughly $725 million in foregone Class 1 skim milk revenue as possible," end quote. Now, the lawmakers cite economic forces, market disruptions, and the COVID-19 pandemic, which created Class 1 mover-related losses. Jim Mulhern, National Milk Producers Federation President and CEO, says, quote, "We commend Congressman Antonio Delgado of New York for leading a coalition of his colleagues to ensure dairy producers in that state and across the nation are reimbursed for as much of these losses as possible," end quote.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. And yes, Chad Ripperdoe, look on Facebook. I am a low friend. I'm one of your friends in low places. Anyway, so welcome back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO. I have Special Agent Paul Cornett from the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture in the Red Room today. And before we, current weather is 83 degrees, winds out of the southeast. That 5 miles an hour is not even blowing for Oklahoma. And it's not even worth talking about. But I did have a text in on the text line, Special Agent Cornett. You want to answer this? It says, "Does Special Agent Cornett pack heat?" You want to answer that?
Yes, sir. We do. We're fully commissioned police officers, and so many times, whether it's this job or as James knows, as a game warden, you're by yourself most of the time. So, we have full shotgun, rifle, handguns, and it's always our worst fear. No officer wants to have to shoot anybody, and it's
no.
But we are prepared, and we are going home at night. So
yeah,
it's
just, and if you're going to a fight, you might as well have something to fight with.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going down this list looking for something very interesting, and I see one in our area, the Jackson County hay spike. I want to hear about that.
All right, we've had. We always were bad as police officers. We get zoned into the thieves in our area, and we try not to do that. But there's some guys in the northeast part of the state, almost in Missouri. They lived right where Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma all come together. And our agent up there he just knew they were stealing cattle, but never could catch them. Well, then they were down in Jackson County. One of the guys worked for a oil field pipeline. He inspected pipelines. We found all this out later. So he was working and scouting what he was going to steal. And we were having thefts in southwest Oklahoma that we couldn't find a suspect to. And it ended up the guys in northeast Oklahoma were coming down here and stealing cattle. And we were just never looking at them because they weren't on our radar. And that's how we caught them. The victim had taken off a hay spike off his old feed truck and set it out there by the corral. And of course, like all of our corrals do, they grow up in weeds, and these outlaws go down there and load up these cattle, and they're turning around to try to get out of there where they run over the hay spike. Unbeknownst to them, they've punched a hole right through the radiator. They got up there. They actually made it about an hour north, and their truck caught on fire over there on north of Mountain View on the highway. But, that's when we all know there's a God, but that's when we as law enforcement officers know there's a God, that we get a break.
There was a cattle God there.
We would have never suspected them. They would know. I mean, and they had been doing it a long time. So
well,
we just get breaks like that sometime. And we like to say, we'd like to take the credit for being smart and catching all the bad guys, but we got to have breaks a lot of times. And that may involve other, just people calling and giving us tips that just, you don't think maybe it's not that big of a deal, but it may be piece of the puzzle that we're needing to solve a crime.
Well, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO, and I have Special Agent Paul Cornett in the Red Room with me today. He's with the Department of Agriculture, and we've got some more questions. I got some more questions. So, if you were to catch, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but I know you'll give me an honest answer. If I, myself, a cattle owner, if I was to catch a cattle thieving operation in progress on my land, what do you recommend the landowner to do, cattle owner to do?
Well, if you catch them in the act, I mean, it's all our, you know, it's our gut reaction. You want to go down there and pounce on them.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, a lot of this involves, you know, 90% of us people trying to buy methamphetamines. They're on meth. They don't know.
And they don't
care.
They're
not a reasonable person. They don't care. I voiced my whole career. I've told my landowners, whether it's a game warden or doing this, I get paid to butt heads with the bad guys. Do what you can do to get tag numbers, vehicle information, try to keep a distance and,
call
the sheriff's office. Yep. You know, we try to get there as quick as we can, but when we have 13 counties, it'll never fail. I'll be at Guymon working a case, and somebody will call me in Watonga, and we just can't get there. We're not a first responder.
Right.
Most of the time. But
The things already happen when you get the call.
Sure.
It's not in progress.
Yeah. And it's whether we're working a cattle theft or any other crime, we gather evidence, we put the investigation together. It's just like putting a puzzle together. Sometimes there's just no pieces to the puzzle, you know?
Like you're one with the hay spike.
Yeah, I mean,
hay spike.
Yeah, you'd have never caught him. And it's not like we have witnesses on every corner out here. You know, we live in a remote area, and there's just nobody there to see a crime.
So during the pandemic, when lots of people were home and not working, was your cattle thieving up or down?
Our cattle thieving has actually been down a little bit, which is surprising.
It is.
I mean, times are hard. I mean, especially, you know, the oil field down. I mean, crimes in general, I have something to do every day. When I get up, it's not like I'm sitting around going, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's always a case to go work. But our actual cattle thefts have been down. I've worked here for a little over 10 years, and we've caught a lot of people. And you're never going to catch all the criminals, but you know, you just don't want to go to a jury trial in Western Oklahoma and explain to a jury full of ranchers and farmers why you're stealing their cattle. You know, I mean, that's just, we usually have pretty good prosecution. Right. I mean, it's just, and we're fortunate. I mean, I have some really good prosecutors in Western Oklahoma. And there's times that they may not prosecute other crimes. I have some of the sheriff's office say, man, they'll prosecute your cattle thefts or your agriculture stuff, and they won't do our other stuff near that well. Well, it's a lot of our prosecutors, they come from farming and ranching backgrounds out here, and they
feel
it's not personal, but at the same time, that we're all one family in the agriculture field. I mean, we have to take care of each other, and that's just
so what has risen, if anything, during the pandemic?
I mean, general property crimes, barns getting broke into. We also work wildland grass fires, which in Western Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, we know how devastating fires can be. And there's actually four of our – I'm one of the four officers, agents in Oklahoma that are certified nationally to investigate wildland fires. So we – like I went to training in Georgia a couple months ago, and a week-long school, and we go and investigate wildfires. You know, I mean, we arrested a guy in Guymon in March. I mean, the young man that started four fires, burned up 300 and some hay bales at one spot just because he was having a bad day.
His fire bug?
Yes, and that's kind of a funny thing. Not funny, but there's 300 and some hay bales burnt. The guy that lost the hay bales, him and his neighbor had been having a feud. So this is a lesson on sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. These two neighbors had been arguing. The one neighbor tells the other one, I'm going to come burn all your stuff up tonight. Just joking. Or they were mad. Well, that guy records it. Well, that night, all the guy's hay burns up. But it wasn't the guy that threatened to do it. Yes.
It
was a guy, this kid that we ended up arresting, just drove randomly out in the country and decided to burn hay. And the sheriff's office goes to the guy, and he's like, I didn't burn his hay. Well, here's
I was just kidding.
We got it recorded yesterday. You said you're going to burn all the hay, and it's a good one. He about got charged. You know, just a weird coincidence. But now I tell people that's a good example.
Keep your mouth shut
sometimes.
Yes. Keep your mouth shut. Well, let's check down this list a little further. Here we go. The Aaron Cout requested this. The one-legged Kansas thief.
Yeah, and you know, and it sounds like you're, I don't mean this in a bad way, like you're starting to tell a joke. You know, did you hear about the one-legged cattle theft? And it was a true story. There was a sheriff in Kansas had called the Woodward Sale Barn and said, we suspect this guy's stealing cattle. We don't know. You know, if you see a guy come in from Kansas, one-legged, you might watch him. Well, several months later, the hired hand, you know, out there unloading cattle at the Woodward Sale Barns, unloading these cattle. Here's a guy from Kansas, and he looks over, and the guy's got a prosthetic leg, and he's like, wow, I wonder if this is the guy. And it ended up, he was stealing cattle out of several feed yards in central Kansas, but when he came in, Woodward Sale Barn called, and we came in and waited, and they came to get the check, and they handed him the check, and then we were waiting for him outside the office, and I'm like, what are you doing?
He didn't try to run?
He was looking at the doors. He was looking at both doors, but I said, don't even think about running for the doors. But I said, what are you doing? He's like, I just stopped to use the bathroom. And he's holding a check in his hand, you know, and I said, you just stopped to use the bathroom? Yeah. Well, what do you got in your hand? I got a check. And I said, you sounds like you need
Lucky
to go
day.
To the casino or something. You just stopped to use the bathroom and they handed you a check with your name on it. I said, it is your lucky day. You know, of course he went to jail, but it broke. That gets back to people paying attention.
Right.
I mean, our law enforcement does a great job. I mean, we all know, but we need everybody's help. We can't.
I mean, how many different people own cattle out there?
Oh, sure.
How many different brands are they? How many different ear notches they are? How many different color tags you use out there? Somebody's got to pay attention, and I'm guessing probably the sale barns are your best.
They do good. We're really fortunate in Western Oklahoma. I say my coworker Devin Huckabee at Mangum, and then we have Ben Eggleston, which is with the ranger with the Texas Southwest Cattle Raisers. He lives at Higgins, Texas.
Yep.
And he's commissioned in Texas and Oklahoma, and we all talk about that. Not all of our guys across Oklahoma can say that, but we are very fortunate in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle to have good sale barns.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, we have a listener. By the way, it's Today in Ag, 96.5 KECO, Special Agent Paul Cornett with the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture is in here, and we have a question for you. What can cattle owners do to keep their cattle safe from rustlers? And we were just talking about that before the show started.
Yes.
Help us out.
We have a saying, if it's easy for you, it's easy for the thief.
Yep.
So we all want to keep our gates unlocked or not, you know, or you got a cattle guard, just leave it open. And we're fortunate in Western Oklahoma, we don't have as many thieves. I mean, we have 8 field agents and 2 of them work in Western Oklahoma. That tells you how many more thieves there are in Eastern Oklahoma. No, you know, sorry and apologize to the people listening from Eastern Oklahoma, but that's just the way it is. You know, you can park a tractor out here on the side of the road and it come back a week later, it's there. You park one on the side of the road in Eastern Oklahoma and come back 30 minutes later and somebody stole it.
There's so much difference in terrain.
It's just a different
world. I mean, you can see miles out here.
Yes.
And you can see a quarter mile maybe in Eastern Oklahoma.
But, lock your gates. I mean, and even the way you hang your chain, we all shut our gates different. If you show up there
and it's different,
something happened. If it's deer season, you got deer hunters in there, but it may be God telling you, hey, you might want to check something out here. You know, don't just go, oh, well, maybe I'm just imagining it. Count your cattle. I mean, and keep a good count on your cattle. I mean, I worked one, the guy, he said he was missing 60 cows, and I'm like, okay, 60 cows. Well, when's the last time how many cattle do you have? Well, I don't know. Well, and he's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And he couldn't help. You know, he did the best he could. But I'm like, well, so when's the last time you got a good count on your cows? Oh, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Well, how do you know you're missing 60? I mean, I can't find something if you don't know really what it. And if he didn't know how many he had, how do you know what he's missing?
You don't know where to start.
You gotta give us good information. and brand those cattle. I mean, if your cattle aren't branded and we all get lazy, not necessarily lazy, but then again, some of the older landowners, you just can't, we can't physically do what we did when we were 20, and they may go, man, nobody stole my cattle in 40 years. I'm not going to brand this year. That's,
and then bam.
And you call me and go, I got 14 five-weight heifers, black heifers, no brands on them. Can you find them? No, probably not.
No.
You drive from here to El Reno and see how many black five-weight cattle there are. I mean, there's thousands of them. Yeah. It's like somebody going, my white Chevy pickup got stolen, and I don't know the tag number or the VIN number. I mean, you're not going to find it.
Well, I had a gentleman just text in, and he works for the Department of Agriculture, too. And that's all I'm going there. I'm trying to keep him undercover for me. Yeah. But anyway, he said, our cow cops do awesome job, so you're a cow cop.
Well, yeah, we get called all kind of names, but yeah, cattle cops is one of them.
Well, anyway, well, Paul, thanks for coming in today.
Yes, sir.
And thanks for the job you do as a law enforcement. It doesn't matter whether you're a city cop, county sheriff, game warden, special agent with Oklahoma.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we want to say thank you to the people of Western Oklahoma. That I know across the country a lot of anti-law enforcement takes place, but it's common to have people come up to us in Western Oklahoma and thank us. And we want to tell you all thank you for supporting your law enforcement.
Yeah,
we do our best job we can for you.
Well, we appreciate it. And, man, it just lit up on the hotline here. Well, Lieutenant James, he just said in here, he was a great game warden. He's a great ag agent. The things that make him a great game warden are the same things that make him a great agent, ag agent. He gives a darn and treats each person like they're the most important person because they are. And it sounds just like you too there, Lieutenant James.
We kind of learn from each other. We're pretty similar. And I say the same about James.
Yeah. Well, thank you. One other one. Don't know who it is, but it says, love listening to Paul. And I don't know who it is.
No.
They just love listening to you. Well, it's the day in ag. On 96.5 KECO with Jimmy Clark.
Beef Breakeven, your daily look at the cattle industry. Brought to you by Blue and Gold Sausage, serving Oklahoma's fundraising needs for 50 years.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, you know, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us, and we could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Good day, folks. Calvin Wright with Beef Breakeven. Feedlots are only a few weeks away from being current on fed cattle supplies, according to Dr. Daryl Peel, livestock market economist, Oklahoma State University.
In the near term, yes. I think we've moved a lot of cattle. The marketings in the last two cattle on feed reports have been very impressive. We really saw the peak in about February, and since then we pulled them down. And we know that the numbers in general have been coming down. We're trying to work through this current pipeline of cattle. We got delayed because of the pandemic last year, and that's what really set up the problems we've had all this year. But we're close.
As the market sort through the numbers, USDA and politicians ramping up efforts to expand packer capacity and strengthen the Packers and Stockyards Act.
There's an awful lot of political motion out there right now to do something, and it really reflects the turmoil that we've been in for really about 2 years and the producer discontent that's out there, but it's being translated into some of these political initiatives. In the short run, I think we're going to fix our immediate problem because cattle numbers are going to drop back below the current capacity here again in a matter of weeks. We may be almost there right now, but it's not quite clear yet. But longer term, the potential for the industry to grow will depend on some long-term investment in infrastructure. And we're kind of at the point for the first time in many, many years when the industry really needs to think about that.
That's Dr. Darrell Peel, Oklahoma State University livestock market economist. In other news, the scientists with the Agricultural Research Service recently announced a new experimental vaccine to protect cattle from the bacterium that causes Yoni's disease. That's a chronic intestinal disorder that can cause diarrhea, weight loss, poor health, and sometimes death in cattle.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, June the 29th. We sold 554 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, July the 8th, we sold 2,135 calves and feeders for a total of 2,689 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 81.5. Then cows bring 48 to 65.50, with the bulls bringing 87.5 to 97.50. 5 to 8 year old bred cows bring 900 to 1125. 9 and older bred cows brought 1,000, with 2 to 4 year old pairs 1375 to 1575. 5 to 8 year old pairs 1150 to 1300, and our 12 to 14 month old black bulls brought 1500 to 1700. Hunter feeder steers 3 to 8 higher. Steer cattle 4 to 450 steers 168 to 189. 5 to 550 170 to 184. 6 to 650 steers 158 to 169. 7 to 750 147 to 53. 8 to 850 141.5 to 149. 9 to 950 steers 138 to 143.50. And 10 to 50 to 11 weight steers 125.75 to 129. Heifers steady to 5 higher. 4 to 450 heifers 146 to 150. 5 to 550 heifers 153 to 160. 6 to 650 148 to 149. 7 to 750 142 to 145. 8 to 850, 131.5 to 135, and our 9 to 950 heifers 117 to 124.50. Very aggressive feeder market. Steers 3 to 8 higher, heifers up to 5 higher. For this Tuesday, July the 13th, we will have 40 bred cows, another deal of 45 bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Current weather is 82 degrees. The wind must be up. Yep, the wind's up southwest, out of the south-southwest at 7 miles per hour, 12-mile-an-hour gust. And the reason why I said that, I know the humidity is at 50% now. Dew point's at 62. Our Long Ranger tomorrow 94. Wednesday 94. We're going to have strong winds Wednesday, looks like. Thursday looks like 93 with a 20% chance of rain. Thursday night 40% chance of rain. Friday 20% chance of rain. So anyway, and I noticed some guys have got a lot of hay cut down, a lot of alfalfa cut down right now, and it is hard to dry in this kind of weather with that kind of humidity. And I know they're just chomping at the bit to get it baled up, but that's, just be patient. You'll get her baled up. So last Friday and Thursday, there was some rumors flying around the special meetings about spraying around marijuana within 3 miles of marijuana growers. Ag little deals that they want to call, and you have nothing to do with those, right? No, I didn't think so. But anyway, the pot farms, as I call them. So I'd done a little calling around this morning, and we will have somebody on here, hopefully this week, with the Department of Agriculture explaining anything, because I did find out the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority has no authority over agriculture. Anything that the farmers are ranting or doing in here. So no matter what these fake news rumors you're hearing, just stay calm. I'll get to the bottom of it for you. That's why they pay me the big bucks. Not really, kidding. But anyway, but I did talk to a person that said, rule of thumb, if it is legal by label, you can spray it. But it's also your responsibility to keep it on your property. So you remember that. Saturday and Sunday at the Dust Bowl Days Farm and Ranch Festival in Sayre, I believe myself, since I was there, that it was a big hit. The parade was awesome. U.S. Representative Frank Lucas was there, and Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture Blaine was there, and they were the what they call them when they're sitting on the chairs waiting for the marshals to come by, the grand respective marshals. Anyway, there was a lot of people, a lot of families, and don't get mad at me because I'm not going to remember all the families I seen in the parade, but the Breezes, the Silks, the Damerons, the Campbells, the Louders, the Dunlaps, and I know I'm missing some, but there was a lot of cool stuff in the parade. Brian Silk, when I pulled up there in the KECO Hummer, he was standing on top of that big combine that was a peanut combine, and I yelled at him to get off because he's getting too old, he's going to hurt himself. But the parade was awesome. Down at the park where the parade ended up at, the rodeo grounds were busy all day. Joe Merrick and those guys had it going on, and Brian, all those guys, the families were there. Goat tying, ranger, all kinds of stuff was going on. But inside the park, they also had lots of vendors set up. One of them that I noticed was the guys from Elk City that do the blacksmithing over there at the Elk City Museum. They were doing blacksmithing. Let's see, who else was there? North Fork Electric was there. Co-op was there with their deal. Brent was there himself, and he was giving out autographs from being on my show last week. Sorry, Brent, but you brought that on. But anyway, they was there. The Swazoo had a deal set up. There was Miss Pickens was there. She was doing pictures of old-timey stuff. It was fun. But it was busy. It was a great success. It was their first one. I can't wait to see what they got next year. And congratulations on a job well done, everybody. The Sarah Chamber of Commerce, the special committee that put that on there. But since I brought that up, one of the guys, Brian Silt, was giving me crap last week on the Backroad show about owning John Deere equipment. Well, his wife sent me this video or this music thing, and she said, I play this every time Brian comes in the peanut combine only because it's John Deere made. She said his red stuff doesn't do nothing for me, but I'm going to play you a little bit of clip of what she sent me.
Lordy, here she comes with a basket full of chicken and a big cold jug of sweet tea. I make a little room and she climbs on up. Open up a throttle and stir a little dust. Just look at her face, she ain't a fool of me. She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on. She's always staring.
Thank you, Sandra, for sending that in on Brian. I hope he's happy about that. But tomorrow I have Lacey Swope on, and we're going to have some stuff on chemical spraying in Oklahoma. And it'll be a great day, great show. I appreciate Special Agent Paul Cornett coming in today. And hope everybody enjoyed the show. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Have a great day and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hello, folks. Calvin Wright. First Oklahoma Ag. Let's check the midday markets Monday. Live cattle, August, up 72, 119.95. October, up 12, 125.70. Feeder cattle, August, down 80, 158.37. September, down 75 at 161.07. Lean hogs, July, up 92 at 111.92. August, up 205, 103.62. July, corn, up 10 and a quarter at 640. September, up 12 and three quarters at 542 and a quarter. Kansas City wheat, July, up 15 and a half at 614 and a half. September, up 5 and a quarter at 599 and a quarter. Chicago wheat July down 3/4, 607 3/4. September up 8.5 at 623 and a half. October cotton up 1 point at 88. December down 8 points at 87.63. July soybeans up 25 at 1429. August up 19 3/4 at 1399. Crude oil August down 45 cents at 74.11. September down 41, 73.40. We'll check cattle auction numbers here in a moment.
Oklahoma owned and Oklahoma grown. That Stillwater Milling Company, manufacturers of A&M feeds. At Stillwater Milling Company, they take pride in the A&M livestock feeds, focusing on quality ingredients that yield quality products. You'll see the fleet of Orange Mack trucks delivered.